Guess what, Carl? You ready to guess? You don't have to guess, I'll tell you. I've got good news. I got good news. Courtney, guess what? I got great news. Great news, Bob. You know what? I've got some super fragile. How do you say that? I got good news. Okay. Janet, right? I've got some super duper news today. You ready to hear it? Guess what, Jacqueline? You want to guess?
Good news?
Yes, I got good news. Josh, whom I just talked to today for one of the first times, you know what I got? Good news. Mike, I'm the Walter Cronkite of news, except with one difference. My news is good. It's good news. Yeah. Seth, guess what? I got good news. Brother,
good news.
I got good news. Am I annoying you yet? That can happen. That can happen when we say, hey, when we talk a lot about the good news, but we don't really ever get around to understanding what the news actually is and being able to share that with people. You know what I'm saying? What's the good news? What is the good news? When we talk about the gospel, all we're saying is what? Good news. That's all we're saying. So many times we talk about the good news without saying what it is. So I ask you that question, what is the good news? And I want you to know that this is so obvious, but it's surprisingly missed. I missed it in a lot of the passages I'm going to share with you today. Because my mind was drawn to certain phrase or certain things in the passage and away from what, duh, there it is. And I'll bet you some of you are going to experience the same thing. Let me give you an example. Jesus' words, Luke 16:16. We saw this, I think, last time. The law and the prophets, Jesus said, were proclaimed until John. Since that time, read this phrase with me. You ready? The good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone's forcing his way into it. How about Acts 8:12? But when they believed Philip, as he preached, read the phrase, the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So there's Philip, we say, preaching the gospel, right? The good news, and we emphasize the word gospel, good news. He's preaching the good. What is the good news? It's right there. It's the good news. Are you ready? Prepositional phrase describing the news. The preposition is of. It's the good news. What? Of the kingdom. There it is. The good news is the kingdom of God. When the angel told the shepherds, Luke 2, I bring you good news, there's the word gospel, of great joy, which will be for all the people, not just for the Jews. He was announcing the birth of the king, the Messiah. That's the good news. Another example, when we share the gospel, if you've ever done so, one of the best places in Scripture to do that's John 3. You know, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Listen, that's John 3. Who was he talking to? He was talking to Nicodemus. And it's in this passage in John 3, I got my notes out of order. Can you believe? I don't think that's ever happened to me before. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm missing page 2. That is bad. I think I found it. Hold on. Well, I'll just go on with this until I get the pages in order. How's that? I'm totally stymied here. You know what I did? Let me tell you a story what I did this morning. I'm going through my notes, as I do pretty early on Sunday morning, going through it and praying through it and stuff. And I thought, man, it'd be awful if I ever got these out of order. So I numbered the pages. I numbered the pages, and I can't find page 2. Okay, anyway, I'll just go on and see what happens. Where was I? John 3, right? Yeah, he was talking to Nicodemus, right, in John 3. And in John 3, early on in John 3, I can't believe that's gone. Anyways, he's talking to him, and he says, he's talking about being born again. Right? John 3. He says, I tell you the truth. Unless a guy is born again, what? He cannot see what? The kingdom. And all through my Christian life, I look at born again. What does that mean? Born again, born again. I study that. I pick it apart. I do all this stuff. And I miss this. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Right? No one can see the kingdom of God. He's talking about the what you're born into the kingdom. And I spent so many years studying what it means to be born again. So we see first birth, physical, right? You get 2 birthdays. You got to be born twice. First birth, physical. Second birth, spiritual. We need a second birth to enter the kingdom, a spiritual birth. How does that happen? When we repent and believe on Christ, God forgives our sin, he redeems us, and the Holy Spirit comes to rule and reign over your life. He comes to rule and reign the kingdom. That's why Jesus said in Luke 17, once having been asked by the Pharisees, they said, hey, Jesus, when's the kingdom of God going to come? And Jesus replied, the kingdom of God doesn't come with your careful observations of the law, you Pharisees, nor will people say, oh, it's over there, or here it is. Like the woman at the well, remember what she said? Hey, you Jews say you got to worship in Jerusalem, but we say on this mountain over here. And Jesus said, uh-uh. There's going to come a day when it doesn't matter here or there. And that's what he says here, because the kingdom of God is where? Within you. We're going to look more deeply into that next week. But he's talking about the Spirit of God. You must be born again, born twice, born of the Spirit. So we have kingdom coming. Where's it at? All right, here's what we're going to do. I'm missing a page. So let's go back. Here's what we got. We're going to look at the kingdom, but we're going to do it this way. Do you remember when you were a kid? If you ever watched children's TV, how, like I used to watch Captain Kangaroo, okay? And they would put up a children's song in there, right? Oh, you found it. Where was it? Thank you.
Is that it?
Yep, that's it. Where did you say it was? See, I told you he does stuff all the time. Thank you. That is helpful. Now I got to get my pages in order because I don't know what page. This one's not numbered. So, okay, here's what we're going to do today. How many of you remember? I already asked you that, didn't I? I am bombing out right now. Okay. Children's TV. Captain Kangaroo. Children's song. Okay. And I remember they'd put the words on the screen and they'd say, now follow the bouncing ball. Right. So let's do that. I got Mary Had a Little Lamb, and that's kind of appropriate the way this is going today. So, and let's follow the bouncing ball. Sing it with me. Here we go. You ready? Actually, it's green. I got to go. You remember that? Yeah, that was cool. I loved doing it when I was a kid, back when I used to be able to sing. Well, let's do this. Let's follow the bouncing ball through the scriptures to make sure we see and understand this idea of the gospel of the kingdom. Are you ready? Hopefully at the end of this, you and I will know more about the gospel than just that it's good news. If you don't understand the kingdom, then you really don't understand what the good news is. And hopefully we'll know what the good news and where we fit into it. And that should, I hope, inspire and ignite us. So let's follow the bouncing ball. Go back to Genesis 3. First point on your outline, kingdom relinquished. What's the scripture? Genesis what? I want you actually to remember these things. What's the scripture? Genesis 3. What are we looking at here? Kingdom what? Relinquished. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say? Up to Genesis 3, the world was perfectly good. It functioned according to the will of God, and God's image bearers, Adam and Eve, were in perfect relational obedience to God as, get this now, ruler of all things. They were also in perfect relationship to themselves and to the creation. And Adam and Eve were God's stewards as his image bearers on the earth. God had delegated his authority as king to his image bearers. But when Eve ate and Adam followed suit, Adam in essence handed the created realm over to a new ruler. That's why Ephesians 2 describes the born again as formerly. This is what you used to be. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of, read it with me, church, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. In John, here we go again, bouncing ball, Genesis 3. Kingdom coming. That's not it. There we go. I think I got it now for the moment. This is a mess. John 12. What's in John 12? Here it is. Jesus called Satan in John 12, also in John 14 and John 16. He called him the prince of this world. Colossians 1, 13. He has rescued us, Paul writes, from the dominion of darkness. That's a word implying rulership. And brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. And the devil himself, when he was tempting Jesus with the splendor of earthly kingdom, said in Luke 4, 6, he said to him, I'll give you all their authority and splendor. This is Satan talking to Jesus. For it has been given to me. And I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, Satan says, it'll all be yours. See, Adam and Eve took the authority that God had handed them as ruler of heaven and earth. And they relinquished that authority. When Adam chose Eve over God, he handed the universe over to a usurper. And in becoming dead to God, in the absence of God, mankind became alive to its new ruler, a new king, a murderer, and a liar, one who is no king at all. The kingdom was relinquished. Are you hearing me? Say Genesis 3, kingdom relinquished. Now follow the bouncing ball. Run up to Genesis 12 and also Genesis 15. Say Genesis 12 and 15. Say it. Ready? Go. That is a key passage. It's the Abrahamic covenant. And my point is kingdom blesser. The kingdom blesser. The Lord said to Abram, this is Genesis 12, 1, leave your country, go to the land I'll show you, I'll make you into a great nation, I'll bless you, you'll be a blessing, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And read this ending with me, you ready? Here we go. all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Listen, Abraham's offspring, his seed, would be a blessing. To all nations. Fast forward to Galatians 3 with Paul. Paul writes, he, God, redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Jesus, you see, is the offspring of Adam, who is that blessing to all nations. Jesus' work on the cross opened the birth canal for the born again into the kingdom that Jesus talked about to Nicodemus. So you got your first birth, second birth thing. Now follow the bouncing ball. We got Genesis 3, kingdom what? Relinquished. We got Genesis 12 and 15. We got kingdom what? Blesser. Now let's go to 2 Samuel 7. Remember that chapter. We got kingdom coming. Here's the context. David has established his kingdom in Jerusalem and in Israel, and he is feeling badly that he has this beautiful palace, but God has no house, he has no temple, and God commends David's desire to build God's temple. He commends it. He also says, you know, I wandered along with your people as they wandered in the desert. I never asked you to build me any temple. He says, I don't need one. The whole earth's mine. But he commends his desire and he says, look, here's what we're going to do. You, David, want to build a house for me, but I'll tell you what. I am going to build a house for you. And here's what he says, David, when your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. Verse 13, he is the one who will build a house for my name. Who's that? Solomon, David's son from Bathsheba. But then he goes on, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom. How long? Forever. Who built the temple again? Solomon. Did it last forever? No. So this is a reference by God to Solomon in the now and to someone else in the future, a coming king from David's line. And then when you get down to verse 16, God says it again, 2 Samuel 7:16, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. I think he means forever. So follow the bouncing ball. Genesis 3, Adam, kingdom relinquished. Genesis 12 and 15, Abraham, kingdom blessing. That's the Abrahamic covenant. 2 Samuel 7, David, the Davidic covenant. Kingdom coming. And then through the rest of the Old Testament, the prophets speak of this king, this Messiah. They describe a mighty forever king. But then mysteriously, they describe what came to be known as a suffering servant. Isaiah 53 is probably the best place. This is 700 years before Jesus. Isaiah wrote of one, 53:2, who had no beauty, no majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, a man familiar with suffering, and we esteemed him not. Verse 4, he took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. He was stricken by God. Verse 5, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and it's by his wounds that we are healed. Verse 6, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. the King of Kings, and this suffering servant. And so we, like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8, ask, who's the prophet talking about? Himself or somebody else? Follow the bouncing ball. Kingdom relinquished. Kingdom blesser. Kingdom coming. Now we're introduced to the kingdom's king. Follow the bouncing ball to the Gospels. The kingdom's king, Mark 1 and 15, Jesus said, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. The good news, folks, is about the kingdom. And the kingdom's king is clear about that. The good news is his kingdom. Listen to him, John 18. John 18. Kingdom's King, John 18, context. Jesus has been convicted of blasphemy by the Sanhedrin. He's been taken by the Jewish leaders before the Roman governor Pilate. The discussion going on between Jesus and Pilate is about being king of the Jews. And Jesus said to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. What does that mean? If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. And Pilate says, he thinks he's got him. Ah, you're a king then. And Jesus answered, you're right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. And for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. He's a king. He has a kingdom. And everybody on the side of truth will take heavy note of that. Luke, the Dr. Luke records these same events this way in Luke 23:2. Says, and they, the Jewish leaders, began to accuse Jesus, saying, we found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar, which was a lie, and claims to be Christ, a king. So Pilate asked Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, yes, it is as you say. And eventually he's marched off to be hung on a tree. Here's the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, the king of the Jews. Okay, so here we go. Jesus said very clearly he was the Messiah, the king. We could turn to many other passages and find the same thing. He's the Messiah, the king. The kingdom blessing to Abraham. The kingdom coming to David, he's that king. The kingdom king, come in the line of David. He's king. Here's the question I want to ask you this week and into next. What kingdom? What kingdom? I mean, he was crucified, we know that. He raised from the dead, we know that. He ascended back to the Father, where Hebrews 7 says he always lives to intercede for them. Okay, so what kingdom? What's that all about? And next week, we're going to look at the gospel of the kingdom again to answer that question. As you sit here and as you go home today, what kingdom? What does that matter to me and to you? That's what we're going to look at. And I hope and I know that what we'll find is a now and future kingdom. And that it will be immensely challenging in what we see and how we are a part of it all. But until then, to summarize, it's the good news. Did you hear me? The good news is the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. If you want to know the gospel, you must understand the kingdom. And what do we see? We see a kingdom relinquished in Genesis 3, a kingdom blesser in Genesis 12 and 15. We see a kingdom coming in 2 Samuel 7, and we see the kingdom's king in Jesus and in John 18, suffering and dying and rising from the dead. What's the kingdom? Let me just close this message with a preview of next week. I told you that the kingdom is kind of a now and future kingdom. The now aspect to Jesus' kingdom. Are you ready? As you go home today, as you sit here right now, the now aspect to Jesus' kingdom is his rule and reign in you. In you. In your heart, in your soul, by his Spirit. He, the Holy Spirit, is the gift. He is the gift of eternal life in you. Have you been forgiven and born again spiritually by the Spirit of Christ into the kingdom? And if so, as you live your life, is it obvious to you and to others who rules? Because isn't that what the kingdom's all about? When we say we're saved, when we say we're children of God, when we say the Holy Spirit lives in us and I've been forgiven of my sin, we are saying that God rules by his Spirit in me. That's what we're saying. And if that's not what you're saying, then your life is still under the rule and reign of the prince of this world. That prince hates your guts. He wants you deceived, distracted, and destroyed eternally. So that the image of God in you, that God designed in you, that you are designed to express, is never expressed and never marveled at. He wants you to be eternal trash and tragedy in every way, in every relationship. But the good news, the gospel is about Jesus' kingdom, the kingdom of God, that Jesus Christ is now and in the future in the process of taking the kingdom back. And the first step in him doing that is him taking you back. You can be born into that kingdom even today. It is a free but very costly gift. What's the cost? Well, it's not your good works. It's not your effort. It's not you're doing the best you can and not killing anybody. That's usually the one I hear. And it's not you're trying harder. The cost for you to be born into that kingdom and submit and humble yourself before his rule every day, the cost was the life and death of God's Son, the King. Most kings that we know on this earth, think of Nebuchadnezzar. He could just say, off with your head. And he had no reason to say it, and your head went off. Without reason. That's how we think of kings. What they say goes, and you're nothing. But this king is a king that gave his life for me. The death of the king, and then he had to beat your death. And he did. He did it. So I ask you, which kingdom, which king? You want the one who wants to distract and destroy and deceive you and those you love? Or the one who wants to adopt and adore and adorn you with his righteousness as his own child? What are we, idiots? Fools? And how can we say, yes, I'm in God's kingdom, and then live in rebellion and ignore abiding, ignore his word, ignore obedience? But I got my ticket. Makes no sense at all. And the Bible's pretty clear. You better examine yourself and see if you're in the faith. A child of God, a citizen in the kingdom. So next week, we'll dig into that a little bit more. The gospel of the kingdom. What kingdom? The good news is the kingdom. What's the kingdom? Sorry for losing my place. I do that a lot in life sometimes. But can I just say as we close, you know, this whole thing is we look kind of at the whole Bible and the kingdom, and we follow the bouncing ball between Genesis 3, kingdom relinquished, and Genesis 12, kingdom blesser, and then 2 Samuel 7, kingdom coming, and then John 18, the kingdom's king. We're looking at that. It's amazing how God wove that thread throughout human history. And you know what? It wasn't that long ago that I couldn't have told you what I just told you. I didn't know it. You know, when I really highlighted in my brain a connection between Genesis 3 and Genesis 12 and 2 Samuel 7 and John 18, tons of passages in the gospel. I just grabbed John 18. You know, when that thread became clear to me, wasn't that long ago, it really solidified itself in my mind so that now I can talk about that in a kingdom sense to unbelievers if they're curious and seeking, and I can do that. It really started coming clear to me in the book series is when it first really started. Oh my goodness. The book, that was last year. So I tell you that to say, you know, I'm learning. I'm learning a lot. And I really want to say thank you for the opportunity to do that. It's hard for me sometimes to sit alone and study. It's not an easy thing to do. But what a blessing it has been to have the Lord be. Sometimes I write a message and it's like, I didn't write that. And it's like, where did that thought come from? And it's just such a blessing to say, I can't remember learning that, thinking that thought. And it's just like, it's not some mystical weird thing. It's, you know, the room doesn't glow in the dark when I'm in there, you know, writing or anything like that. It's just a blessing. And like so many of God's blessings, it's difficult, but it's worth it. And so I just want to encourage you with, you know, you think, man, he knows a lot about the Bible. I don't. Here. Scratching the surface. That's where I'm at. I'm just a kid. But I thank you for the opportunity and pray that this is helpful. And I pray that you'd understand the gospel. I'm really excited about this series, Gospel 2020, because I want you to understand. And I think this is a great understanding. Maybe you already knew all that stuff about Genesis 3, Genesis 12, 2 Samuel 7, John 18. Maybe you had that all put together, that global perspective of that thread throughout the Word. I hope you did. Some of you go to BSF probably had it. But I don't know. I know there's some of you that didn't. And I hope it makes a difference. I hope it makes a difference. Because we're talking about the kingdom. I mean, it's a forever kingdom. And I want you in it. Me too. Let's pray. Father, I want every person in this community in it. And beyond. And you do too. We're on the same page. Because you said it's not your will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And repentance and faith is the entrance. Repentance to what? Belief in what? The gospel. The good news of the kingdom. Help us to understand the kingdom. And beyond that, help us to live in it. And Father, you know that my default. I have so many default things in my thinking and character and emotions that I've learned through the years to just come out. And it's not kingdom stuff. And I don't think I'm alone in that. Humility, submission. We defend ourselves. We fight for what we want. Without even thinking about it. When we think about it and realize your presence, when we turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, which we don't do very often sometimes, but it's only then when we abide in you that the things of earth grow strangely dim. Help the things of earth to grow strangely dim as we understand the gospel, the good news, that it's about your kingdom and you're the king. And you desire right now to rule and reign in our soul by your Spirit's presence, that we would live in intimacy and surrender to your will, the will of God. And we pray it all the time. May your will be done on earth, right now, in us and through us, as it is in heaven. May that be the case. And start it today in someone, in many. In Jesus' name, amen.